There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking, he took courage and went into Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he bought fine linen, took Jesus down and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
But we start with the women. And as the women made their way to the tomb, their lives were filled with uncertainty. They had more questions than they had answers for. Their hopes and dreams had been shattered, buried with Jesus 3 days earlier. And we've probably all been through periods when hopes and dreams have been shattered. I know that I have. More than once. Perhaps we are going through a period of doubt and hopelessness now. I want tonight's sermon to be a message of hope. All is not lost. God is still God, and he is still in control. It's been a difficult time for those who loved and followed Jesus. The disciples and the faithful women were aware of his death upon the cross. And now no doubt their minds were full of unanswered questions. What do we do now? Where do we go from here? Is there any hope left? The one they had believed in and trusted was gone. The hopes and dreams they had just a few days earlier had been shattered. Jesus had died on the cross 3 days earlier. They knew he had been buried in a borrowed tomb. It appeared that Jesus had suffered a great defeat, and that mourning had begun with dread, fear, and uncertainty. We must remember the context of this particular morning. The events of the previous few days had left Jesus' followers numb and confused. Their faith had been tested and they were searching for answers. Things hadn't turned out the way they thought they would. And chapter 16, verse 1 says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they could go and anoint him. The three women had enjoyed a close relationship with Jesus. They believed he was the promised Messiah. They had heard his teaching and witnessed his miracles. Their lives had been transformed by Jesus, and yet he had been taken away, crucified, and buried. In chapter 15, verses 41 and 47, Mark makes a point of mentioning that these three women had witnessed the events that had taken place. Verse 40, at the crucifixion, there were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. And verse 47, as Joseph of Arimathea placed Jesus' body in the tomb, now Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching where he was placed. These three women knew that Jesus was dead. They had seen the events leading up to his death. They had seen many people crucified, as this form of execution was a public spectacle, and crosses with bodies on them could be seen on the roads, at the side of the roads, going out of town. They knew death when they saw it. They also knew where Jesus had been buried, and they had come to do all that they felt was left, anoint his body, and show honour and respect for the one they loved so dearly. We can only imagine the sense of utter devastation and intense pain in their hearts. And chapter 16 and verse 2 says, very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. No doubt the three women were concerned for their safety. Jerusalem was in an uproar concerning Christ, and I'm sure the images of the horrid events they had witnessed over the previous days were still fresh in their minds. But they were undeterred. They loved the Lord and were only concerned with bringing what honour they could to him. This is a challenge to us. We live in a day where most have no desire to honour God. Many fail to consider the great sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. We will be celebrating communion in a short while, and as we are reminded of the Lord's sacrifice and resurrection, may our passion for him be renewed, and may we make a new commitment to him. Verse 3, they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us? As the women made their way to the tomb, they were concerned with practical matters. They were not looking for a resurrected Lord. Why would they? It was something outside of their thinking and experience. They were focused on a stone that was stood in the way, and they could see the death, but not the deliverance. It's easy for us, as we look back upon 2,000 years of Christian history, we know what happens next. We have the Gospels to read, and the New Testament giving us the story of the early church. But these three women were in the midst of things. They had walked with Jesus. Yes, they had heard him speak of his death and resurrection. Yes, but it didn't make sense to them. In the same way that it didn't make sense to us until the Holy Spirit opened our hearts and our minds. I wasn't brought up as a Christian. I was brought up in a home that I'm sure we were aware that God existed, but it just wasn't relevant to us. And it wasn't until in my 20s I went through my young years, my childhood, and my teenage years in the 60s, can you imagine? And then I went through my childhood and my teenage years, not knowing anything about God apart from it probably existed and probably didn't, because we learned about him at school. And when I became a Christian at the age of 24, a new world was opened before me. It was like changing. Remember those of us who was old enough, changing from black and white television to colour television. It was like a new world opening before us, and what I'd learned about the scriptures at school. I did go to a Church of England school, junior school, and with teachers who, looking back now, I know were Christians because of some of the things they said. And it was opened. What I learned about Jesus was opened. It started to make sense. Some of us here tonight, I'm sure, have seen God work in many ways and in many situations. We have seen miracles of healing and provision and guidance. Yet no matter how many times we have seen God work in our lives, when we are in the middle of a situation, when we cannot see any way forward, our minds are focused on that situation. We sometimes think that not even God can sort this one out. There is nothing that happens in our lives that God isn't aware of and doesn't have control over. He has the power to conquer the grave, and he has the power to handle the difficulties in our lives. If we have made a commitment to Jesus Christ, then we have hope for eternity. The resurrection should generate hope and expectation for better things to come. The women may have come to the tomb with doubt and despair, but their despair soon turned to victory. As they reached the tomb, they discovered that the thing they had been worried about had been removed. I've noticed that in my own life sometimes. Something I've been concerned about just hasn't happened. Or somebody has anticipated a problem and solved it before I'd even mentioned it. God is concerned with the details of our lives, not just the major events, but quite often the minor details of our lives. The women entered the tomb, expecting to see a cold, dead body. Instead, there was an angel who delivered a message of victory. And in verse 6, we find the angel telling the women not to be alarmed. The angel also told the women in verse 6, "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has been resurrected. He is not here. See the place where they put him." Have you ever seen something that doesn't make sense? I have. I have sat in my car. I was once sat in my car eating my sandwiches in a car park somewhere in the south of England. And at the side of me was a river. At the front of me was a bridge going over the river. And I was just about to take a bite out of a sandwich and I froze, mouth open, sandwich there. There were two cycles side by side going over the bridge without riders. These two bikes didn't have riders, and yet they were going side by side in an orderly fashion over the bridge. My eyes were saying yes, but my brain was saying no. And then these two cycles reached the end of the bridge and the wall gave way to a fence and the two cycles were on top of a car. I like it when something that doesn't make sense suddenly makes sense. The Lord had sent words of comfort to the women through the angel. Their focus had been on the Lord's death, but victory had come with the dawn. The Lord was no longer in the tomb. He was alive. Things may not have suddenly made sense to the women, but there was something in the angel's words that had brought comfort and reassurance. Things were starting to make sense. I'm glad for the comfort and peace Christ brings to our lives. He has the power to comfort the brokenhearted, the lonely and afraid. Life may not be all we hoped it would be. There may be situations that are beyond our control. We can take courage. Hope is not lost. Jesus is there to comfort our hearts. The angel spoke words of confidence. He was well aware of why they had come. They had come to anoint the body of Jesus. The angel wanted them to know their search had not been in vain and that their faith in Christ had not been in vain. The Lord was all they believed and so much more. Jesus had died, but he didn't stay dead. Hope had not ended in the tomb. We live in a day where many do not believe the gospel. They claim that we believe in something that does not exist. My prayer for us all tonight is that our confidence may be renewed. We have been saved by the precious blood of Jesus and we belong to him. This world may not understand or believe, but that doesn't hinder our salvation or diminish our hope. We cannot expect a lost world to embrace our faith, but that doesn't detract from its power. There may be times when we are at the end of our rope, when we feel like giving up. I know that it happens to me. There are times when I want to resign from everything. I've had a session like that this week where I've been arguing with God. I just wanted to give everything up and just drift through the rest of my life, just not doing anything, wandering around Mansfield and going to Tesco and buying me food and going home and eating it. But we can be encouraged when we look at Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. The same Lord we trusted in before remains able to meet our needs. Yes, he died and they buried him, but he lives today. The angel spoke words of conquest. Verse 6 again. He has been resurrected. He is not here. See the place where they put him. The angel proclaimed words that have resounded through the ages. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He rose victorious over hell and the grave. There is nothing that could hold him there. There is a song sung by a band called Rend Collective. It's called Resurrection Day. This is my resurrection day. Nothing's going to hold me in the grave. This is my resurrection day. Nothing's going to hold me down. I hope that we are all thankful for a risen Saviour. Death couldn't hold our Lord. We have the hope of life beyond the grave because of his glorious resurrection. Jesus rose never to die again, paving the way for our own eternal resurrection. There is hope in these words of conquest. Death no longer has a hold on the children of God. We may go to the grave and be placed in the dark, cold, dark ground, but praise God, that won't be the end. We will be resurrected with a new, glorified body. The angel spoke words of celebration. Verses 7 and 8 say, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." So they went out and started running from the tomb because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them and they said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. What a change in the hearts of these women. They had come to the tomb with little hope, but left with the promise that Jesus lives. They had received the news that Jesus had risen, and they'd been charged with passing the news on to the men. We can despair sometimes, can't we, when we hear or see the news in the media? We are bombarded with death, destruction, and fear for the future. But if we are redeemed, we can rejoice in the good news that our Saviour lives. We have been promised that Jesus will return for his church. One day he will call for us. We will rejoice when we look upon his face. No matter what is happening in the world, that ought to bring hope to our hearts. We can be encouraged to rejoice in our Saviour's love and provision. To conclude then, as we move into a time of communion, we have considered the triumph of the gospel. The grave could not hold our Lord. Because he lives, we have hope of resurrection and eternal life. I hope and pray that we are all ready for the day when Jesus calls for the church and the dead in Christ will rise along with us to meet him in the air.